This is Jennifer Dupre interviewing Bernice Majeski, July 18th, 1989. Okay, would you introduce yourself?
I'm Bernice Majeski. I live at 13703 Green Street.
In Robinson Township?
In Robinson Township.
Yeah, what year you were born?
I was born in 1922 in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. How long did you live in Chicago?
Until I was about 16.
Okay, and then you moved?
Yes, we moved out here, and we moved to the family farm that was located in Grand Haven Township, where my mother was born.
Okay.
And then
could you give me some history on that? Then when your mother came here, and
well, she was born here, and then when she became she went to Chicago to work, mm-hmm. and there she met my father, who was born in Mendota, Missouri. And but he had also lived in Kansas and come from Kansas. And we did live in Kansas, too, for about a year and a half when I was just a baby before I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And then we moved back to Chicago. And then 51 years ago, we moved out here permanently. And we lived on the family farm for one summer because we didn't have a, it was just a house that was built temporarily.
How old was the farm?
The farm has been in the family approximately 100 years.
Okay.
And
do you know who the first settler was?
On the farm?
Yeah.
Before my grandparents?
Yeah.
No, that I do not know.
Your grandparents were not the settlers of the farm, though?
No, the farm, they bought that.
Yeah, that's what I meant, though.
Oh, yeah.
In your family.
Yeah,
okay.
But they, yeah, they,
did they, moved, they come from the old country?
Yes, they came from Germany,
okay.
And they lived in town for a period of time, and then they moved out onto the farm. And they lived there and raised their family. My mother went to Chicago from there and then was married and returned. So we lived in a temporary building on the farm for that one summer. And then we moved.
Well, what was the building like on the inside?
It was not finished inside.
It was just
no.
wood?
It was a shell, just a shell, wood. A wooden shell that was made, of course, that was a depression, you know.
Okay.
And it was made with the help of my two uncles, who were very prominent in Robinson, Felix and Bruno Pitlinski. They were both carpenters. So with their help, they built this shell.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't finished there. The dividers, the walls between the rooms were just 2x4s with heavy pink building paper over them, you know. And there was, of course, no electricity. But it was adequate, you know.
And what did you do? Did you actually
farm?
We
had a garden. Well, it wasn't a farm, but it was a garden to supplement our food and to provide our food. And from there, we moved around several times. One time we lived in a house that was at the farm that was at the end of what is now Green Street. It was owned by some people named, their surname was Paul.
Did you continue to do farming then?
Just gardening,
not
actual farming.
Okay.
My father was on WPA. My mother worked in Felix's down here, Felix's place. It was a boat livery, bar, Snack.
It's down on Green Street.
It's on Green Street at Stearns Bio.
Okay, it still exists.
Yeah.
Are the owners that own it is in the family?
Partially. Mm-hmm. Bernie Pitlinski. We called him Bernie. Well, it's Bernard, but it's Felix Jr. He has the gun shop there that is there now.
Okay.
And it's still a boat-oriented, fishing-oriented establishment with a restaurant in there, a small restaurant now. We also lived on the corner of 144th and Green. That building is gone now. There was a small gas station there, and my folks had that, and a little tiny, like a country corner grocery store. Just a convenient thing, you know. And we had gas. Now, remember, they had these old gas pumps, you know, where you pump it up with a great big handle, and it went up into a tank. You've got one down in the museum. And it was a big glass tank at the top. And you'd pump that full of gas, and then when you serviced a car, all you did was put the hose in, and just from gravity, you didn't have these neat things that tell you all the stuff that they have now, you know. And so we were there, and that belonged to the Koshes, Andrew Kosh and his wife, and they lived on a farm just south of that. But then their house burned, and so eventually...
How do they know how it burned?
No, it started in the walls.
Oh.
And so then they moved over into a house on Stearns Bio, but they had cattle and everything, so it was too inconvenient, so they had to ask us to move. From there is where we went to this place at the end of Green Street. And... from there, we were there, I don't remember how many years. Then we moved over onto the point on Stearns Bio, and we lived there until my mother and dad moved, and then they moved in there on the end of Mercury Drive, right on the river there, and that was the last my folks passed away from there. So that's where I lived. I went to Clark School for 1 year. I went to Grand Haven High School for 1 year. But of course, there was no transportation. There was no money for books or anything. You know, you kind of.
How did you get to Grand Haven?
We rode in private cars, people going to work, and when my dad was working at the helping to build the Oval down there, the WPA project, we would have to ride in quite early in the morning and find a warm doorway or something to stand in when it was cold, you know, until school opened. And so I only went 1 year because I was needed at home. My mother was working, my father was ill. And
so I
dropped out of school. I must have been about, 17, because it was a different, I had had to repeat a grade in Chicago. I'd had whooping cough, and I missed a whole year, and then they wouldn't pass me when I moved out here from Chicago. It was in April. And they go till June, and they wouldn't pass me, and they said, the only way you can graduate from here, I was supposed to graduate from the eighth grade there, is to stay with someone. Well, in those days, if most families, if they could take care of their own, that was it, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't take in someone because of the depression. So anyway, I lost the eighth grade, which I had to repeat out here. So I got a year or two behind.
Yeah.
And then I, let's see. So then I just stayed at home, and eventually I did go down and I worked in Grand Haven very briefly at a little grocery store and at McClellan's, which was a variety store. I worked there. I worked one summer out on the lake for some summer people from St. Louis. And I also
What did you do for them, cooking?
I just did cooking for them. And then, too, and I also worked for a family in Grand Haven for approximately maybe close to a year.
Doing the same kind of?
Yes, cooking and just keeping the kitchen and the dining area neat, you know, and cooking and a little bit of watching the children and that. And then I was married. And, let's see.
One thing I wanted to ask you, though, earlier is, how did you feel coming from Chicago and moving to this little town?
Well, I had spent many summers out here.
Oh, you
so, to visit you know,
your...
my grandmother. And after the farmhouse burned, she bought, she and my uncle Leo, who was a bachelor, they bought a house here across from Felix's, where Felix's is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had spent time at the farm first, and during the summer we'd come out, you know. And then I came out and would stay with my grandmother here mm-hmm. at the, on Stearns Bio. And no, that part was fine. I mean, I missed Chicago for a while with all my friends and everything,
yeah.
you know. But no, I was very used to it very quickly. And so after we were married.
Where did you meet your husband?
Just because he happened to be here. He lived. And the farm is still in their family, right across from Clark School.
Mm-hmm.
And just a neighbor, you know, and just sort of like that. And we were married on January the 4th, 1941, at St. Anthony's Church. And we lived for about 2 weeks in Grand Haven. And that was as much as he could take of city life. He was born in Evanston, Illinois, and he came here when he was, I think it was 4 years old. And he was drafted into the service, and we had two children at the time, Jim and Mary Jo. And when he left, we were living on the Joe Codel farm, which is over on the far west end of North Cedar Drive. It was back in the back right on the river. And our neighbor was May and Hattie Sapinski, who were sisters of Casey Sapinski, who was our supervisor for many years here at the in the township. We were back there without any telephone or anything, you know. Neither of us had a telephone. So when my husband left from there for the service, and our daughter was, the second child was 10 and a half months when he left.
Mm.
He was sent to, he spent time in Texas in two locations. First he was in Tyler, near Tyler, Texas at Camp Fannin. I took the two children, and Mary Jo was about 11 months old at the time. I know she wasn't a year yet, because we went down in October. Yeah, she was a year. She was a year old, but she was born in September. And I went on the train with the two kids. Never been any place before, you know, and I got on the train with the two kids, and We went to Texas on the train, and but it was quite an experience because at that time, servicemen and women and women with children got on the train first because they were quite packed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were allowed to go on first, so we always had a seat, and the servicemen were always very nice. I had three little bags that I carried, and they'd always grab the bags or the one of the kids, you know, because they were both little and couldn't walk very fast. So we went down. We spent some time in Tyler. We stayed in Tyler, Texas, and had a few neat experiences. And then on the way home, I changed my route, and I went into Kansas, to Fredonia, Kansas, to my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I arrived there, and that was quite an experience, arriving there, because it was in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock, about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was supposed to go into one town, and the conductor came and he said, you have to go to another town. And I said, well, my family is meeting me in, one was Roper. Oh, I was supposed to get off in Benedict. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you go on to Roper. I said, well, my folks are going to be in Benedict. And that's all he said. He walked away. So pretty soon the train slowed down. Here it is, black as, you know, black of night. Yet it was about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And the train stops way out in this prairie. And the conductor helped me down, set my three bags and my two kids and myself down on the side of the train. He says, goodbye, be good. And the train goes off. Here I am in the pitch dark. Nothing around, you know. So I sat down by the train track for a few minutes till my eyes became accustomed to the dark. Went up to our little house that was sitting there, and I said, do you have a telephone? No. There's one down by that light. There's one. The light looked about a mile away. So I started walking. It was at a crossing, you know, at a street. Just a little ways, about a block down there, looked like a building with a car setting by it. I thought, well, maybe they just kind of missed their stop, you know.
Yeah.
So I started walking to there. I hid two of my bags, and one with my purse, and I kept with me, but I hid two of the bags in the high grass by a trailer that was sitting there. And I started walking down to that building, and all of a sudden, here comes this little Ford. And it was flying about 6 feet off the ground, really. Well, not quite 6 feet, but anyway, it was traveling, and it come and it stopped at that crossroad, and it just sat there, you know, and then it started to turn around, so I quick ran out on the road. It was my family, my aunt and uncle.
Oh, good.
My aunt Isel, who was my father's sister, and her husband, Roy, and so they got me, and they got me over to grandmother's, and my grandmother was ill at the time. And that was on a Wednesday. Then on Thursday or Friday, I went out to another sister of my father's, Aunt Martha and Uncle Fred, and who lived out in the country. And we were doing regular Saturday chores, Ford, just a tearing again. My uncle came in, and he said that my grandmother had just passed away.
Oh, my
so, of God. Course, I stayed for the funeral and represent the family that way. Because, I mean, you know, things were not... you didn't have much money, you know. And my folks, we had sent my dad down. We kind of pooled our money and sent my dad down a short time before that so he could see his folks. And because while my husband was in the service, this is digressing a little bit, I got $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that paid for my everything. For $100 a month with two little kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
Doesn't work that way anymore.
No. Of course, things were a lot cheaper, too. My rent was $30 a month, and that included utilities.
Oh.
So that wasn't so bad.
So I had 70 whole dollars for the whole month, you know, to pay doctor bills and get my car and everything. Well, anyway, when I got back from there, then another time I did go down to Champaign, Illinois, where he was. He was in Waco, Texas, in the Air Force, because they changed him from the infantry into the Air Force because he had been injured in a car bike accident when he was about 17. And his injuries from that, he had scars on his head and everything, and he had had a broken ankle from another episode. And so he was transferred into the Air Force. And he also was in Florida at Kissimmee, outside, just outside of Orlando. And we, of course, at that time even already had to have our cars up off of the streets, you know, in the wintertime, so they could plow. So this one day I was down there shoveling snow to get my car up onto the parkway, and I got a letter from him, and he said, oh, he was so sunburned. Could have, you know.
Yeah.
Here I was up shoveling snow, and he was crazy in Florida, you know. But anyway, but we made it all right, and with a, I lived in Grand Haven, in what is a historic house. It's at the corner of 5th and Lafayette, 301 South 5th Street, and it is right now in the process of being remodeled into a bed and breakfast. And according to the Grand Haven history, it was built by Stuart White, an author. And it was real nice, but of course it was an old building even then. So then when my husband came home, then we built a Quonset out here on some of his mother and dad's land. And so we're still here in the same location.
What's a Quonset?
A Quonset?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember your movies and pictures from the war? They had these little round metal houses, you know, well, half round. They weren't all round. And they were called Quonsets.
Okay.
And so then we lived here, and the rest of our children were born while we were here. The other five were born here. And while we lived here, they were born in Grand Haven. But
how many kids did you have total?
I have seven.
Seven total.
Yeah, we have seven. We have 17 grandchildren scattered all over. Florida, Minnesota, Oregon, and around here. And no great-grandchildren yet. And my husband worked at Olberg Manufacturing. He also worked at, before that, at Michigan Brass.
What did Olberg manufacture?
Olberg's manufactured automotive mufflers.
Okay. And where was that located?
It was, well, it's just, it's on Beacon Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
Just right by the train track before you go over the big bridge.
Okay.
On that, that great big long building.
Yeah,
on your,
okay.
On your right hand as you're going north.
That's right.
Well, then Olberg's moved out of state, and then he retired. That was, what, approximately 7 years ago. And
when did he work for Michigan Brass?
Before we were married.
Oh, I...
And for a short time after we were married. My mother also worked there, and a couple of his brothers, Bush and Adam, also worked there.
What did they do?
Well, Adam, I think, was in the foundry, and they made faucets, plumbing fixtures there. And I don't know what the other ones did, you know. And that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
48 years ago, you know, that's a long time ago. So we lived out here, and oh, golly, I don't know. How much you want to know.
Well, let's go back, way back,
way
to
back.
The beginning.
Way back.
During the 20s and the Prohibition, what do you remember from that? Do you remember that vividly? Since you lived in Chicago.
Yes.
Did you live out?
Lived in Grant in Chicago, up on the northwest side. I remember if anything happened, like now you'll get a bulletin on the TV. At that time, they had young boys out there, extra, you know, papers, they put them up there. We had a house, we did have some boarders, roomers, and I remember one of them, he had a crystal set, which was the forerunner of the radio, you know.
Oh, okay.
And of course then we did have the radio, which we sat by and listened to, and which now they have an antique shop. And at that time there was, when we lived at 43, 55, Potomac, then there was just my sister and I, and then from there, for a while, my mother and dad came out here in the summers, and we stayed with an aunt and uncle there at that place. And we used to go up, the kids, we all would go up and down the alleys. At that time, in vogue was statuettes of, like, I remember Charlie McCarthy and the... Seven dwarfs, and they were made out of chalk. Well, they always get broken, you know, and things. So we'd go up and down the alleys and search out these hunks of chalk. And we had roller skates, and we had macadam highway. The streets were macadam, which is like our tar road out here, only it didn't have all those stones in it.
Okay.
It was smooth and black. And we would make huge, huge circles on the street, or ovals, rather.
With the chalk?
Yes. And then we had all kinds of games worked out that we would play on while we were roller skating on that. Also, we would follow the ice wagon and get chunks of ice to chew on because, you know, they brought, you put a card in your window. You had ice boxes.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have refrigerators.
Yeah.
And
the card would...
would say 100, 25, or 50, or 75 on each side, and you put that in your window with the amount of ice that you wanted on the top.
Okay.
So if you wanted a big piece, you put the 100 up, you know.
Nice.
So anyway, and then the fellow would come with the tongs and grab a hold of that chunk of ice and come upstairs and put it in your ice box for you. And then you, of course, had the pan of water underneath where it dripped. They've got an ice box down there, and I saw it. And the big trick was to remember to empty it before it got too full, because then you had water all over everything. We also would follow if there was a tar truck around any place, because we would take little chunks of tar and chew on that. Yuck. But we thought it was great. We also...
kept our teeth clean.
Oh, yeah. And we also used to put on neighborhood plays. I remember that. Down in our basements. And we would act out different stories and different poems, you know, and songs. And we would charge admission. If you wanted to sit in the front row, you had to pay 2 pins. If you sat, if you only had 1 pin, you could sit in the back row. And we had curtains across and everything, you know. We used to amuse ourselves. Well, you didn't have television. You didn't have all this. You know, we had to make our own fun. We had to improvise. I never had a bicycle while I was a kid. I remember ball and jacks and a doll and paper dolls. And that was the extent of what we had because... my dad at that time was
It was during the Depression because we lost the house. We moved down into the next block, into 4225. We lived in what they call now a garden apartment. When we lived in it, it was the basement.
I see.
Now they're fancy. They're garden apartments. But, and from there, we moved out here. And but there was lots of times we amused ourselves, and you had to. There was no, you know, plan like it is now. Now the kids don't have to use their imagination, you know, which I think is sad because, then after we moved out here, we got active in church and in Boy Scouts. And
did you make any good friends?
Out here?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, many, yeah. And some of them are still around. Of course, they're, you know, we've intermarried, and I have two sisters and one brother. My brother now lives up in near Lawrence, Michigan. My one sister lives in Ferrisburg. That's the youngest one. And the sister next to me lives in now in Fremont. She did live in White Cloud. That's Marie. Patricia lives in right now in Ferrisburg. My brother Bill lives up in the Upper Peninsula.
Did a lot of your social events take place around the church?
No. Yes, around the church, and for a time we were members of the Elks and of the Eagles, and now, of course, we're members of the Knights of Columbus, and different social events, and of course, anything through the church. We used to have festivals and all that, which were where we worked very hard. And let's see, what else?
What church did you go to?
Out here, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It's here on Green Street.
Do you know much about its history?
Yes, but I don't have it right in front of me now. It was founded approximately 1917.
By missionaries?
No, it was a group of five families that got it started. Let me see if I can recall them. There was Valmer, I can't remember right now. I know I've got it. As a matter of fact, I have a very nice booklet with their pictures and everything, sort of a family, sort of a history. And a lot of the work was done by the parishioners. It was very small to start with. And the one lady, she donated her best damask tablecloth to make altar linens. And it has been remodeled a couple of times and added on to. Always sang in the choir for a long time. And I don't know what else I'm at. I mean, for any real history, I would have to, get out my book because I don't want to say something wrong.
Okay.
And
what kind of what did you know about lumbering?
Just what I have read from the history and the log jam back here.
Okay.
That was in the marsh. Stearns Bridge, Stearns Bio Bridge, at first was, there was a swing bridge there because they would float logs into Stearns Bio to hold them. And then they would swing the bridge out and let the logs go into the sawmills in Grand Haven. Then the bridge was sunk onto pilings. It was logs, the bridge, and it was weighted down with sand and a road made over it so it was permanent. And then that one was replaced with a wooden bridge, and it rattled beautifully when cars went over it. And on a clear day, when the wind was in the right, you could hear that old bridge rattle for 5 miles away, you know. Then in 1966 is when they took that out and replaced it with the present bridge, which is the first hot galvanized bridge in the United States. And it took all summer to build it. I have a picture of many pictures of it, but right now I can't. Well, I was just looking in my album, the picture album, but I don't know it.
Okay.
I've got a file over there that tells what page it's on.
Okay. But anyway, that was quite an undertaking, and now we have a nice bridge that's lighted and everything, and at one time on the old bridge, they had a catwalk along one side, and that was for any children to walk to school, and it got used as fishing too, you know, for fishing. There are many, or there were at least, many interesting places in Robinson. One of them was Jack Jungles.
What's
Jack Jungles was originally an old barn.
Uh-huh.
It was made into a dance hall, a restaurant. It was located where Dick's Landing is now, out near the gravel pits, which would be just east of 104th.
Okay.
And on the river. And it burned down. But that was the scene of many happy times. And they had bands out there. And that is all covered in here, too.
For what time did it burn down?
I just looked at it.
Approximately, it doesn't have to be.
It was in, I think in the 50s.
Okay.
We also have taken part, small parts, in the Centennial, the Sesquicentennial. It's on page 42. I'm going to have to tell you something about this book, too, after a while. Here it is.
Okay.
I'm going to write up some more. It doesn't say in here where... I haven't got that part ready yet, where it, what year it burned.
Okay.
But I think it was in the 50s. There's kind of a story, and three people have told me this story independently without knowing that the other one has told me this. And that is how Jack Jungles got its name.
Okay.
Bruno and Felix Petlinski were, as I said before, carpenters. They did a lot of work there in remodeling and expanding and changing the hall, the barn. And Bruno always had his little hound dog with him. Wherever he went, his little hound dog was there. The hound dog's name was Jack. Well, while the fellows were working, Jack, of course, had the run of the place, and he went out, of course, and it was all underbrush and a lot of growth of trees and underbrush and everything. So then somebody would say, hey, Jack's out in his jungle again. And according to, like I said, three independent sources without, you know, that they told me, that they told me this same story. So apparently that's how Jack Jungles got its name. And we have had several, there's the Quade House over on the bio here that was a resort, a summer resort, and very influential and wealthy people used to come out here for the summer and spend time there. There was some, that is still standing and it's being lived in. There were several resorts. Most of them have gone now. They've burned or something like that, where people would be able to come out and spend time. And let's see. Robinson has blueberries. We have a very, very large celery farm. We have Christmas tree plantations.
Still now? Or
yes.
Okay.
And I think probably the asparagus is, we did have a lot of asparagus too, but I think those have kind of phased out. Also, of course, now Bass River does not belong, is not a part of Robinson Township. It is Allendale Township, but it is very close, right up here in the corner, and that's where the gravel pit is.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another gravel pit in Robinson, but the big, what we say, the gravel pit, that's it, you know, up at Bass River. And we have, I have some pictures from there too, because that was a very popular place, because more or less that was frequented and patronized by more by Robinson people than it was of Allendale or anything, because of the location.
If you'd do me a favor and explain the book a little bit, since you've made a few references to it in the tape.
All right. We have started out.
Go back to the.
By. We have started out. We had a couple of meetings, open houses, and we asked people to bring in.
We meaning you and
myself and my daughter Marie Gowan, Louise Pitlinsk, Rauhorst, she was Pitsky, and several other people.
Okay.
We've had couple open houses where we ask people to please bring in old photographs.
Okay.
And we copied them on the spot. We had a lady that came and copied them, and then they could take them right back home with them again, so they would, because some of them were quite valuable, you know, to the people, and we didn't want to lose them. Now we have, I have gotten them into an album, and they're all labeled, and to the best of our ability, we have identified as many people on them as we can. I know some errors are probably made, but there is, in the beginning of the book, there are several different school classes of from way back.
Oh.
And this picture here with this building in the background
is what was called Gleaner's Hall. At one time it was Mr. Foster's store, and it was located in, well, now I don't know, I've heard a little conflict on that. But it was moved by pulling, I'll have to clarify that later on. It was moved by using horses and what they called stump pullers.
What kind
of? It was a cable. He had a grocery store's like.
Uh-huh.
And it was pulled with a cable, and then the horses would pull, and then they would move the cable again and keep pulling it. It was moved to the corner of what is now Buchanan,
okay,
and 104th, and which was called Barnard's Corner.
Why did they change it?
Why did they move it?
Yeah. Well,
that I don't know. And then it was used as a dance hall and a store, and then the after it wasn't used as a store anymore, was the Gleaners, which is a farm group, purchased it, and then they had dances and things in there. When the Maplewood School burned, it was used for a time for classes, and Mr. Barnard was the first supervisor. These are some more pictures of classes. These are the pictures of the schools. The old night school, which was on what is now Lincoln, that was taken down and it was rebuilt on 136th, I think it was, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. This is the Clark School as it was originally. Then one time when we were ladies that we met once a month, the school was very crowded. It was all 8 rooms, of course, and grades in one room. It was very crowded. So we got to talking one night, and we proposed that they would build an addition to the school, which was accomplished after a while with even kitchen and bathrooms and everything, and this is what it looks like now. And these are other schools in the area. These are some of the teachers. This was Addie Clark, who was a very famous family. Walter Clark, brother, I think he was. Well, the Cole Clark family was teachers.
Oh, okay.
And then this up here is Miss Helen Clark. She was a teacher I had. And this is Aunt Phoebe Clark.
Oh, were they all sisters or just related?
Yeah, they were all related.
Mm.
Then this was one social event that we had in 1942. This is myself and my sister. We were, it was for the benefit of polio.
Oh.
And then this was at a centennial of the township.
Oh, they were all dressed in
period
costumes.
They were dressed in period costumes, yeah.
Nice.
Now, these are just different families. This was Mrs. Crandall, a very eminent people, her husband, and their ancestors are really founders of the township, too. This was one of our supervisors. That's Fred Graham.
For supervising the...
the township.
Okay.
And these are just pictures of different people and different groups.
During the 40s?
Approximately. This one even goes back farther because the boys are wearing knickers.
Oh, okay.
And what we're trying to do is find somebody that can say, hey, there's Mary, there's Peter, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to identify them. These are some more. This also was a a supervisor. I think that's a gorgeous picture, that one. That is just beautiful. And this is just the way it goes on and on. Different people that had different positions in the township, and a lot of family. This is Felix's place. From oh. And it was a big flood one year. This boathouse is gone now. Then this, what they had a play yard on the side. This is myself, my sister Marie, and our cousin Louise Pitlinski Rauhorst. Mm-hmm. She just passed away in March. Mm. And this is the bridge. This is one picture of the bridge. And this tells about it, this negative here. It's not a negative. It's called a... I forgot what it is. This is Mr. Foster, who had that store.
Okay.
And just... Now, these... We had ball teams out here with uniforms and everything.
Oh.
Now, I do not remember that... Oops. Excuse me. And they were played... There was a ball field back of that store where I lived for a while. They did play a little bit there, I remember, when we lived there. It's on the corner of 144th and Green Street.
Was it for, like, high school?
No, these were all grown men.
Oh, okay.
These were all grown men and women. There was some women played, too.
Oh, they have a softball league.
Yeah, some... I haven't been able to find out too much about that yet. Maybe I can... But I'm still working on it.
Hmm. Is that quite a sport?
Apparently. Because they really, you know, really went into it. Now, these are pictures pertaining to Bass River.
Okay.
And also this. And this was Mr. White's house, who had a grocery store there. And... a man by the name of Roland Thomas bought that. Of course, this is all gone now, these areas, because of the gravel pits.
Oh.
And Roland Thomas bought this house, and he took it apart, and he used it to make a house that's across from the park out there. And... also, some of the heavy beams in there was used to make that little store down there on the corner at Oakley Store.
Oh.
And now this is more of the dredges and the gravel tugs used to go up and down the river. They'd come from there. And
where would they take the gravel to?
Into Grand Haven.
Okay.
Now, this is a May Graham. There were several of these kind of boats. This is a side wheeler. And May Graham traveled up and down carrying produce and passengers up and down the river.
Mm.
And I don't quite remember
it. So you could get on this boat and buy produce, or how?
No, they would transport it.
Okay.
You know, to the market. And these are the town halls that we have had from way back, and then the new what we called the new one at that time. Of course, now it's mainly just the fire station. And this is the present. No, this is the present one here. And the fire station, and we also have a recycling program.
Oh.
Now, these are very old pictures of farming. The
in
way
this,
they used to
area.
Farm with thrashing machines.
Oh.
And all that. This was a flour mill. That was over here at the end of... This is my pet. Village of Robinson. Podunk.
Okay.
Was a little village over here. It was never incorporated or anything. And it was all blown away in a tornado.
Oh, wow.
There was churches, there was a post office, there was
railroad station. There was just a whole little village, and this is one of the buildings that was in it, a sort of a hotel or inn. This is our youngest daughter, and because for the when the boys were in Scouts, in Cub Scouts, they were supposed to do something, you know, with neighbors and, you know, with community. And so we went over there, and I do have some nails that we
went over
up to Podunk. We call it Podunk. And we are hoping to make it into a park. They have acquired some of the land from these people, and we're hoping to establish a little park there. Well, we went around, and some of these old basements were still in evidence at that time. Now it's getting so built up that it's kind of hard. But I had those nails and a couple little pieces of barbed wire that I picked up there. And but then I put them in a frame, and they're over in the town hall. These are the churches in Robinson. And dating back to during the in 1987, this is when Dr. Seibold and Dr. My brain don't work too good sometimes. Yeah, and they came down the river in that canoe.
Okay.
Remember? Mm-hmm. Or you were, well, you should from Nunica. And they met. They landed at the end of 144th over here because... Mm-hmm.
What was it for, the centennial?
Yeah, the... well, let's see, sesquicentennial in 87.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We exchanged proclamations. They gave us one, we gave them one, you know. And also there was, this is Jim Gerd, who was at the time the supervisor from Grand Haven Township. This is an authentic Indian couple. And I just found their name in another...
That live in this area.
Yeah, they're from up around Nunica. They have that... They were married in... oh, their name is... just a minute, I just had it. Grail. Grail and Brandy Woodruff. And they rode in the canoe, you know. They're from up around Nunica, and they had quite a...
Do they have ancestors from this area?
That I don't know. That I don't know. I want to find... This is our supervisor, our township supervisor, Ray Maskell.
Okay.
Another thing that we are doing, and I've got almost all of them, and that is we're... getting pictures of all the supervisors, and they're all being made into 5x7s, and then we're framing them, and they're all going to be put up in the township hall. This was on October the 17th, a year ago. It'd be 2 years this October. We had a Robinson Heritage Day at the Robinson School, and people brought in all sorts of things. These are all handmade quilts, and they had many different things. Now, this is Lewis Clark, who has since passed away, and this was when he received the certificate. The family, a centennial family. People brought in all types of things.
I see.
We had some entertainment out in the hallway for the children to kind of amuse themselves. We also had a movie made here last summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was partially made in Grand Haven and down around Saugatuck and other places. But most of it was made, or a lot of it was made down at Felix's and right next door here.
What was it for? A historical?
It was called Singapore Harbor. Now, I don't know if it still is. I haven't seen a tape of it yet. It was supposed to be on television and in the movies. And it was at Felix's.
In what year was this?
That was last year.
Okay. And what was it, a historical movie?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Although, and then this was, I've got some more pictures that I have to put in yet, because they did part of it back here. It was, apparently, this man was supposed to have, was something to do with the Vietnam, it was a war, like a war picture.
Okay.
And they were shooting and everything else over there. One of the actors that was there, was the man that played on Batman.
Oh.
Gorsh, Frank Gorsh.
Oh.
So he was over there. I never quite got my courage to go over there. Although, just as they were about to leave, one man walked over and he asked what some flowers were blooming, that I had blooming. And he was in there. He had, this man here.
Uh-huh.
He had, so he came over, and of course they always carry pictures with them, you know. And he played, I think, the sheriff in there, if I remember right. But that was one little thing that we had out here. It was our movie. And then, of course, this is Jack Jungle that I had shown you before. And, this is Oakley Store at 104th and North Cedar Drive, and it was part of it was used to be they used part of it in building from Andrew White's house. And this is what it looked like before. This is its present.
Oh, it changed.
And Mr. Thomas that built this and ran the store for up until he wasn't able because of ill health, his daughter, Ollie Perchetta, Mrs. Joseph Perchetta, they ran the store for a while, and she gave me this picture. It's one of their children out there, and it's, guess, 6 gallons of regular
wow.
for a dollar.
Wow.
So we thought that was pretty neat. This, for the, I'm just getting these documented. This was a canoe race we had in connection with the sesquicentennial. That was a couple years ago, or was it 84, I think. It was down here at Felix's. And this was how they started out, is just as they came under the bridge. This is my son-in-law. And then we had some friends in there, and how they went farther and farther, and pretty soon you couldn't hardly see them at all.
So
it was a race.
In general, though, this book is about the history
just
of this
the
area.
Just the history of the area.
It's photographed.
These are old houses. This is the house where this one just burned last year.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the resorts that I told you about.
I see.
This was my grandmother's house across from Felix's. They tore that down to build a different one. This was the Quaid Resort. And these pictures here have... this was on is on the corner of North Cedar and 120th. And the people that lived there, Peltons, which is a very old family, she, Mrs. Pelton, Nellie, she was the postmaster, and the telephone exchange was in there. That's where the telephone was.
Mm.
She was the telephone operator. That is still there. Then in one of these houses... This one here contains, they tell me, the log cabin that Ira Robinson lived in, and that is where the township started. This is one of the ferries that went across the river.
Ira Robinson started it with her husband?
With their, no, he, that was a man.
Oh, okay.
Ira is a man. And, yeah, there's, we have some other documents that tell about it. This was one of the ferries that went across there. Now, these are just, this was the home of May and Hattie Sapinski back there where I used to live. And I've been told, and I haven't quite tracked it down yet, that there is a historical significance to that house. It has been changed since, and this is what it looks like now.
Oh.
It is a bed and breakfast.
Oh, okay.
And then these were just pictures, and that's my uncle behind the wheel, and this is different people. And so we're still working on it. I've been working on it for a long time. Now this is the end of the bio down here, Stearns. And the remains of what was called Rogers Bridge. There was a building that was a school. The first, I think the first Clark School. It was on 144th now. And they moved that building across this bridge and brought it over
wow.
to here.
Huh.
And this is all that, just these pilings are all that is left of that. And so that up to now is kind of my book. And still working on it. And hoping to, this will go into the township hall. And then I have the negatives, any negatives I had are in another book. And they will be placed in the fireproof vault so that, you know, if something happens to it, well, there they are. Mm-hmm. Because this is an awful lot of work, and there's a lot of it that, you know, I couldn't get to replace it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, well, on these, I have the card. It's also the same information as on the back of the picture. And then the reason I didn't put, you know, pictures on both sides was so that we could put the identifying things on it like that. And then there's a card file.
Okay.
So that, you know, like before, where was Jack Jungles? What page is Jack Jungles on?
Yeah.
You know, that makes it a lot easier. So, and if anyone, we're going to have it set up so that if anyone wants, somebody will come along and be looking at the book and they'll say, you know, hey, can I get a copy of this?
Uh-huh.
Then we can, there is no negative to this, but we would have to, you know, but 'cause some of the things are just from newspapers and other pictures like that that we don't have a negative for.
Yeah.
But, so we're hoping to kind of get around, and we have talked to a few people. Mary Kasturik, who happens to be a sister of our supervisor. We have gone to three people so far, and then she can take shorthand, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then we type it up, and she types it up, and we're going to have those written, written things, and then if we can get these tapes, and I think that would be real nice, because I think we have a lot of history here, and I know I've missed a whole lot of it. Right now I'm just trying to skim over the top a little bit, and a lot of people have helped me by getting pictures and everything, and so as not to hurt anyone's feelings. Just make it a blanket thank you, because you know, I don't want to offend anyone, and there's lots more to go, and I'd like to get separate little stories written up. Well, different things about the different places, you know, and just to, because you can't tell everything on a picture.
That's
you know,
true.
And on the back of the picture, I can't put all that information. And so we're trying to do that and hope to preserve a few things that there's a lot of amusing little stories and some connection with the Robinsons, and but we're working on it, so
yeah.
I don't know, is there anything else that
we pretty much went over everything. Mm-hmm. On this sheet, except for you didn't go much into sports and recreation. There's any stories or anything in there?
Well, yes, there is one. Now, this was on an interview.
This isn't a personal.
Pardon me?
This isn't a personal story?
No, this is when we interviewed Mr. Browdy. I think it's this one.
Maybe you better not talk about it then, because I don't know if we can use.
Oh, I see. Okay.
His information, because we won't have his release.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So.
Okay. But well, there wasn't too much to do out here, you know.
Yeah.
I think mostly they went into town. Of course, at one time.
About what time? What year?
Any time of the year, you know.
I mean, what era?
Well,
in the 20s, the 30s.
Yeah, in the 30s. Of course, I don't remember too much of that. Vince, are you there?
No.
No? He isn't in his big chair. But, well, there was this dance hall, the Barn, that was down on the waterfront in Grand Haven. It was a roller rink. And then they had also, the big bands come in there for dances, you know, like Benny Goodman and all them. Real bands, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but then that burned. And it was never replaced. And, but other than that, you went to the show on Saturday night and go down to the roller rink and to the theater. We had, at that time, there was 3 shows in Grand Haven. Now there's just the one.
Yeah.
But that and family doings, you know, and picnics and things connected with the church, doings, you know, connected with any of the churches, like a picnic or just like that there. And at one time, was just after, I think, Vince came back from the service.
Vince is your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, we had a softball team, and there was, I forgot how many teams now. There was one up at Little Black Lake, and it was Felix's sponsored one, and Sheffield's was a woodworking place over here on 120th, and there was a couple others, and we played softball. We would go around to them. Different places. That was always fun. It was very informal. I mean, no uniforms or anything, you know. And I used to get quite excited over them. I was scorekeeper, and my husband was pitcher, one of the pitchers, and he's very relaxed and everything, you know. And these women used to, especially from one of them, used to razz them. You know how they do. They try to get them all riled up, you know. I used to get quite upset, to tell the truth. But that was a lot of fun. I think we had that about 2 years. And that was really nice. It was something to do, and, you know, and it, I don't think we were affiliated with anybody or anything like that, you know. And but other than that, there just isn't too much. It's a nice, relaxed atmosphere and nice and quiet. And I hope it stays that way. Of course, everything is growing and growing and growing. And I just don't know if anything else that you'd want to know.
Do you have any more stories or anything that you particularly think about?
Oh, God, I don't know. I got a lot of them, if I could only think of them all, you know.
Yeah.
And, but there was different stories. Of course, in view of this now, I just better hold off on those.
Okay.
And not that there's anything wrong. There is one thing I would like to check out. On the farm that my Uncle Bruno had, it was on what is now Sleeper. And I remember we went out to the, took the cows out, you know, he was a farm, he farmed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, at the edge of the woods back there, there was this huge rock, kind of, if I remember right, kind of pinkish, that had shiny things in it. And I said, oh, how pretty that was. I was just, you know, a little kid. And he told me that was a meteor that had fallen. And he said that most of it was underground. Now, I don't know if that... I'd like to know, how would I find out about that? I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just curious, you know. And, but just like with that... If that little building is really that school, you know, I would like to find that out because...
The Chamber of Commerce know?
No.
About the meteor thing? They have recorded it.
Well, I'm going to... I talked to the library in Grand Rapids yesterday, and I also talked to a professor out at Grand Valley University. And I talked to two people in Lansing. Mm-hmm. And they are going to send me some information on who to contact around here to see if we can authenticate that little building to be into a school. If it is, we would like to move it and put it probably in that village park. If we can get it there. And it's very small, very bad repair, and of course if it isn't anything, well,
yeah,
well, then we'll just not do anything about it. But if it is authentic, we would like to preserve it. And I don't want to rebuild it or anything like that, because then it wouldn't be the same building, you know.
Right, yeah.
And it wouldn't be used for anything. It would be just, like, on display. So if there's anything else that you could think of. Of course, there's all kinds of little stories, you know, with us that happen, different things. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't think anybody would be too interested in
that.
Probably, you know, if there was, just I remember, of course, you know, using a kerosene stove, you know, in the summertime when you didn't use your, you know, before you had electricity.
Did it get hot?
Pardon me?
Didn't it get very hot?
Oh, yeah, but you just kind of, oh, well, it's hot today.
Mm-hmm. Let it go at that, you know. And we used that, and of course the old kerosene lamps, you know, that you always had to polish the chimney and trim the wick and mm-hmm. fill the oil and you know, in so many ways, it really was nice. And I don't know if you'd really want to go back to that all, but
well, it's got its benefits and it has.
I know it was a lot more relaxed and everything at that time. You know, you just didn't have the pressures you do now. And but it's fun. Of course, there's a lot of little stories and. But what do you save and what do you not? You know, it's kind of hard to. It's like we have lived here now for 40 some years at this place. We started out the first summer we were married. We lived here in a homemade house trailer. I think it was intended as a hunting trailer. It had absolutely nothing. It had a bed and a table, and that was it. Period. No electric or anything.
No.
And
sinks or anything?
Oh, there was a kind of a sink, and it had a tank. And so we took that out because my husband had bought me a stove, mm-hmm. 48 inch stove, electric. And so we had an electric pole that we could hook the stove up to, see. And I took that tank, and we had outside, we had two trees quite close together. I've got pictures of this all way back in some place. And I took that tank, and we put a couple of boards up, you know, to hang it on. And we would fill the tank in the morning with water mm-hmm. and let it get warm during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my husband, when he came home from work, where he would wash.
Yeah.
And that warm water from that.
Did you paint the tank black?
No. We didn't know about that then.
Oh.
And it just was out there on its own, you know.
Right.
And but, of course, we couldn't stay in that when it was...
winter.
When it got to be winter time. So we did quite a bit of moving. We moved down here across from Felix's and won the little cottage, and our son was born there. He was born at home on our first wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And... and then from there we moved up to, we lived with his and his mother's for about 6 months, and then we moved over on Pottawatomie for a couple of years, and I think from there, boy, I can't remember anymore now, but then when we lived on Joe Codel's place, then, and my husband left for the service, then I moved into Grand Haven, into that house on 5th Street, which was at that time called the Boyden Apartments. Boydens, I think, were a very prominent family, too. And then from there is when we moved out here. We just had a 20 by 24 Quonset. And, you know, as we kept having more children, sort of the house like Popsy, it grew. We added... this part, well, from where the step is there to the where the bathroom is, we added that on, and then we still needed more room, so we added some more on that back end.
Okay.
And then in 1966 we took the Quonset down that was out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put this small addition on. So that's just sort of did it all ourselves, you know, more or less.
and lots of stories in there too. But we rented and that, and that don't always work out so good, and we're happy here, and had a lot of nice times, of course, it's like in all families, you have your sad times, and
yeah,
you have your happy times, and your good times, and your bad times, but on the whole, I can't complain.
You like this place?
We've been pretty lucky, and we love it out here. I'm the only thing I'm afraid of out here is change.
Anything that's near the water.
Yes, yes.
Going to be hit in the next 20 years.
Well, that's it. And then they're talking about this bypass, you know, for 31.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did talk about that once before, but the way the bed of the river is, about the only place they can go across is over here at 118th and 120th. Because, see, there was a railroad going from... Well, it came up from the south, and it went through that little village of Robinson, and then it crossed, as far as I can find out, it crossed the river. There was a crossing, and there is good foundation. Well, that's only, let's see, 1 mile. That's within 2 miles of here. Well, okay. If they make a crossing there, if they make a bypass there...
Yeah.
This will all be messed up because you'll have your approaches from here,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get onto that. So it'll really
be built up.
Make a lot of changes. And so I don't know. But we still have a long way to go. I've got a lot more pictures to do yet. And if we can get some interviews and... that way we'll, I hope, be able to keep something. So.
Yeah, something of history.
Well, is there anything else you...
Oh, no, there's nothing else really.